Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
Welcome back. And we have our person of interest for today. We're speaking with Ebun Feludu. She runs Jam, the coconut food company, an integrated coconut processing company. We produce a range of premium edible and topical products from the world's famous superfood, the coconut. We are committed to building the biggest coconut brand in Africa for Africans. Their premium coconut product ranges from coconut oil, activated coconut charcoal, breakfast cereals, which include coconut flakes and granola, coconut cinnamon balls. I haven't tasted that yet. I was running away from the sugar, but I think I'm going to taste it. She says it only has very small sugar. But I see the rave reviews. Luxurious body oils, the coconut elixir, and oil balms, all made from their beloved coconut. At the center of their operations is their army of coconut Amazons who live in the rural coastal communities where their factories are located. These formidable women make up 80% of their workforce, and their work accounts for 80% of household income. With the money they earn working at the factory, they're able to support their families and educate their children, thereby breaking the cycle of poverty. Ebun Feludu is committed to the growth of the women force at Jam, the coconut food company, and her women community at large. In 2008, Ebun made an epic trans-Saharan road trip from Lagos to London through the West Coast and the Sahara Desert. She has remained committed to channel an enterprise to build the Africa of her dreams, starting with Nigeria. In 2017, she was made Nigeria rep for WEF, which is the Women Economic Forum. In 2019, she led the largest delegation of women to the annual Women Economic Forum conference in New Delhi. In the same year, she was made the inaugural Nigerian chairperson All Ladies League Nigeria, the global network of women under the auspices of the Women Economic Forum. In June 2020, Ebun Feludu was announced as the president of the Nigeria-India Bilateral Business Council, creating a bridge connecting women in businesses in Nigeria and India. Ebun has supported and benefited immensely from these international women's groups. Her first and most intense training in coconut processing and the entire coconut value chain was in India with support from WEF. She has shared the knowledge gained from India with the Lagos State Coconut Development Authority, where she served on the planning committee of the first Lagos Coconut Festival. Ebun is committed to developing the coconut value chain and developing women who form the backbone of the coconut industry. Since starting Jam, the coconut food company in 2016, Ebun has built the company to become the leading coconut brand in Nigeria with the widest number of certified products and the widest national reach. Jam, the coconut food company products are sold in all Ebano, Blanco, Grantex, Foodco, Health Plus, Med Plus, Hartley's, Fosh, Fresh Forth and ShopRite outlets nationwide, to name a few. She was one of the six brands selected to stock the ShopRite Nigeria from the inaugural AWP cohort. In 2016, she founded Ingro Agri Invest, an all-women board who invest in female farmers and agropreneurs. Ebun enjoyed a thriving career in media before she began her foray into agriculture and agro-processing in 2014. She remains a co-host on TWU Conversations, a popular program on national television, and runs Plug Media and Resourcery, a boutique media agency that supports women with content and branding. Phew! Ebun, welcome to the program.
Oh my God. It definitely sounds good coming out of your lips.
Wow. Oh, are you serious?
I need to record all of that.
Oh, like, don't worry. We'll send it to you. We'll send it to you.
Fantastic.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
Only me, my head is swelling.
In fact, even my own head is swelling, man. I said earlier on that you wear so many hats. And, you know, sometimes I look at you and I wonder, how do you do it all? But let's delve into, first and foremost, you are obviously multi-talented and multi-skilled. How do you manage that? And you're not single. You're married with two boys. How do you manage all this?
I don't know. I feel like there are things that people do that I don't do.
Yes.
Like, I don't know. I don't do a lot of oambe. I don't do, I think that a lot of time is invested in that.
Mm.
And it's not because it's bad.
Mm.
It's just because that's not my interest.
Mm.
But I think I'm restless. Right.
Ah.
And I feel like I need to account for every minute of every day. And so what I try to do is just make it valuable. You know what I mean?
Like, yes.
Invest. So for me, time is a resource that needs to be invested.
True. I get that.
That's the way I can put it. Yeah.
Ah.
And so that's what I try to do.
Hmm. I'm now, being reminded of the first time I saw you. I think it was at a small indoor exhibition of healthy food people. What drew me to your table was there were children there. You had two children with you. And I thought, oh, gosh, somebody who actually brings their children to the exhibition, this must be fun. And then I think one of them, the older one, was trying to sell something to somebody when I walked up to the table. And I was thinking, Ogbeni, in fact, this one is like, oh, well, that's okay, man. We can't go on back. We can't go back without all these things. Why the foray
Absolutely.
Into coconut? What sparked your interest in coconut?
So I think it was one trigger. So I've always been lactose intolerant.
Okay.
And I think it was December 2015. I've always been lactose intolerant and I just kind of, dealt with it.
Mm.
You bloat, you do all of that and you just kind of roll with the punches.
Yes.
But one December, we were on holiday in Ibadan. And I had some ice cream.
Yes.
And I don't know what it was about that ice cream, but I reacted violently in a really scary way to the dairy. And at that point, I knew. I said, "Listen, this flirtation with lactose needs to end." And I'm the sort of person that likes to have a cereal in the morning, So I said to myself, "Let's start to explore, plant-based milk alternatives." And coconuts were there and I just said, okay, let me sample this. And I did. And I just started sharing it with guests who came to the house. And very quickly, I started to find so many other people who were lactose intolerant. I had a conversation with Neo Cafe and said, listen, if this many people have come to me to say, oh, well, this is a great solution for me, perhaps you have a body of clients who could benefit from this. And that was our first partnership. I don't even think we were registered as a company when we partnered with Neo Cafe. I started supplying them coconut milk for all of their outlets. So that's basically how it started.
Wow. And then you don't do things in small bits, do you? I mean, you obviously started this business with a view to expansion. You didn't start with the mindset of, oh, okay, we're just starting this. We're going to be small for a while and blah, blah. You knew that, I want this thing to go past me. I want to be able to impact people's lives positively. And I want them to find the options. How is it that these things were not daunting? Because most business people, and I'm even, let me speak for myself here. That thing of growth. I'm thinking, really? Can I really do it? Am I really ready? Do I have the capacity? Do I do that? But you seem to just jump in feet first. And you're like, I will land where I will land. How does... And then you land and you just take off running. How did your first, let's say your outsourcing of, let's take Ebano for instance. I mean, and when Ebano started, they were small. But now it's like every corner you look, they're everywhere. How did your first stocking with companies like that, how did you come about doing that?
So with Neo Cafe, like I said, I just spoke to them. I called everybody, that there was before. And I'm the type of person, right, and I say this often, like I go into work and I go into projects with a mindset of yes. I have a yes mindset. I don't believe that no is the answer for me when I make a request. So, and I don't take no for an answer. So in terms of how did you go in, how did I go in, I just basically, like everybody else, bootstrapped, took the product to the various things that said, look this, and pitch. And so the ones that say yes, the ones that say come back later, the ones that say no, but, there's a rule in marketing, and coming from my you get back around now. If you, there's a 10% rule. So if you want 10, you need to stop to 100. And I basically apply that with the view of, like you said, growing the, you know, I'm coming from several other businesses, which I'm looking now, with hindsight, they were lifestyle businesses. But at this point, as I'm starting this, I was at 1040, and I knew that this was not a game. This was going to be a legacy business. And you mentioned seeing my children at the exhibition.
Yes.
For a legacy business, it had to involve everybody. Everybody had to sort of inject
them with their, yes.
Of every one of my children. So the part of them now, they've been very much involved from 5-6 years ago when we started. So we have conversations. My oldest son is 10 now, my youngest son is 7. So we have conversations about product lines, about, you know, the volumes that we want to do per month, per this, you know. So yeah, that's basically how I can answer those few questions that you asked me there. Mm.
I like that about the, it's a legacy business. That's not something that we look at. We normally just look at the challenges in front of us, and we kind of get swamped by that, and we forget the reason why we entered, or we dove in to this. For instance, coconut is touted as a superfood. It's also touted as a miracle food, so to speak. Now, I mean, I should know. I mean, I ditched commercial toothpaste maybe, look, what, 5 years ago, and I only oil pull with coconut oil. So, I mean, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, the coconut for you that keeps giving. Can you explain that to us? For people who look at the coconut and just think there's only the coconut water and the coconut flesh.
Okay, so I'm going to take it back, because for me, I really want to share, and I want this to be instructive to people who listen.
Mm-hmm.
Once we started to kind of develop this business, and we saw the coconut milk going on the shelves, I started to ask, like, and then, oh, I didn't add that my kids also started making these coconut banana breads, selling at children's fairs. But they were only selling when they were present.
Yes.
You know, people come there, they go, oh, look at these cute kids, let me buy from them.
Yes.
They were great loaves. But we tried to put them on shelves, and that didn't quite work out. So we sat down and had a conversation. What else can we produce out of the coconut that people need, that is a solution, and that can sit on the shelves without your cute faces? And I think at this point also, we had gotten an order from Health Plus to supply them coconut oil in their branches nationwide. And we had been operating out of my kitchen, but we obviously could not process that order out of my kitchen. At the very same time, I had the opportunity to go to India for the Women Economic Forum, and I asked the organizers, and I said to them, please, this is the business that I'm starting, and I would love to be able to sort of work in different factories in the value chain. Obviously, in the south of India, coconuts are huge there. And so they set that up for me. After the conference, I flew down to the south, went to Kerala, went to Hassan, went to, so just different factories.
Yes.
That even the research on coconut hybrids, planting coconuts, you know, all of the things that they do with the different universities and research centers and factories and all of that. And so I came back with a very different vision. I came back with a much bigger vision, knowing, in fact, one of the agencies I went to, they gave me a book of 3,000 recipes of different things that I could produce out of the coconut.
What?
Yeah.
3,000?
Yep.
Wow.
So coming back, the vision was just so different. It was so clear, all of the things that I could sort of produce out of the coconut. And that became the new journey. That became, you know, like the trajectory that we went into. So it was doing research and learning and investing sort of in that knowledge that obviously helped my eyes to open to see, you know, everything. I mean, I went into universities that compared coconut milk to breast milk, and the closest milk to breast milk in the world is coconut milk.
You got to be kidding me.
So this is, yep. And so this is why, you know, in for chemotherapy, and we're talking about regeneration of cells, yes, and all of that, coconut milk and coconut oil is recommended. So all of that research, all of that work is what clearly opened my eyes to everything that else that I could, you know, provide to people from this one superfood.
You know what is buzzing in my head? You know how it is when you look at India and all you think of is, well, all I think of, let me clarify that, is Bollywood. And before Bollywood, all I thought of was, gosh, they have a lot of people. And to think that they have, I've heard about their rice, I've heard about their veggies, I've heard, you know, to see that they are actually strategic. They don't only grow the produce. I mean, who gives you a book with 3,000 recipes for one coconut? This one coconut that just has a shell, a flesh and water. 3,000 recipes. And they have research departments dedicated to doing these things. I mean, there's no way if you came back and your vision had not exploded, there would be a problem. Wow. You see, now I'm more into, yeah. I want to visit India, please. I knew that there was something about that. Their food interests me. So you came back with this bigger vision. And how has that been, seeing that India is one of the most populous nations in the world and seeing that Nigeria is kind of sort of in the same space, do you see us going down that route, especially with your foray in coconut? Have you been able to in any way impact, let's take Lagos State, because you're the one, I think you were the one who told me about the Lagos State coconut station. I'd never heard of it. Have you been in any way been able to impact them positively, because we know how government can be, in doing this with benefits to the larger communities?
Absolutely. I mean, I think I came back, and one of the other things that I did was I worked with somebody called Mr. John B. D'Antonio. Okay. I was part of a company called First African Coconut, and the sole purpose of that company was basically to just plant coconut trees.
Okay.
Because that backward integration, if you want to scale your coconut business, you have to be able to see a future of, where am I actually getting these nuts from? You know, how am I securing my raw material? We're securing that source. So that's one of the things that we did. And we organized some conferences and partnered with Lagos State Coconut Development Authority. So JAM is also a partner with Lagos State Coconut Development Authority, because I came back and basically downloaded all of, the knowledge that I gained from India at that conference with the agency and the people in the industry. And then we also leased a coconut processing factory from Las Coda, Lagos State Coconut Development Authority in Badagry.
Okay.
So that factory had been set up, and they had been looking in the private sector for who could run that space. And then we got a long lease from them on that. So there's a lot of partnership. And like I said, the first coconut festival, I was on the planning committee. I was one of the speakers. So there's a lot. I have to give credit to the Lagos State Coconut Development Authority. I don't know that any other coconut agency exists in any other state in Nigeria. The GM, Mr. Dakola Kuleyin, is absolutely brilliant. He is deeply committed to the coconut value chain, and with a lot of support from our Commissioner for Agriculture. So, yeah, there's definitely been a lot of sharing between my organization and that agency.
That is heartwarming. I mean, to know that the people outside in the public sector who are committed and interested in the growth of a particular industry, I mean, to backward integration of planting trees. And truly, I mean, I have people in scattered in places who, there's somebody that I've gotten coconut oil from for quite a long time. And I think I reached out to her earlier on this year, and she was like, she didn't have coconuts. And I was thinking, but I told you about this coconut association in Lagos State. I do not have coconuts. And I think for her, she I don't know whether it's that she didn't like the coconut she found in Lagos or something. Anyway, so I had to go to someone else. And I was thinking, truly, if you don't secure where you get, where your source is, your expenses, they skyrocket, first and foremost.
Yeah.
And you don't need that. You don't need that. So how do you guys, and then collaboration, you are definitely a Nigerian with a difference. Because you see that you cannot, no, it's true. You see that you can't do it by yourself, and you're willing not only to collaborate, but to share the knowledge that you have received. Is that a, no, don't go. Network cannot happen today. Are you still with us? Yes, okay, you're still with us.
Here.
Okay,
I'm
great,
here.
Great. Yeah. So is that a function of your background? Because when people meet people like you, the first thing they say is, there's no way you were born and brought up in Nigeria. And I'm like, why? Why is it that we can't have good people born and brought up in Nigeria? Why do we all have to have gone to a school abroad or lived abroad? So is that a function of your background, or is it a function of you understanding the principles of how businesses work?
I think it's... So I'm an Ibadan girl. I grew up in Ibadan.
Okay.
And,
you people are different. The water they use to bath you people is different. And I'm saying that with all sincerity.
We really are.
You guys, anybody, honestly, but the people are different for sure. Please go ahead.
But then, you know, it's really important to be humble and know one's human sort of capacity.
Limitations.
And how far you can go on your own, your limitations. So when you have a dream that size, you cannot, unless you're God, you cannot imagine that you can, figure out how to develop 100 hectare coconut plantation and find out about the research of, you can't do all that yourself when you have a dream that size. It's as simple, even as a household. You can't do everything yourself. In a company, you cannot do everything yourself. If you try to do that, you limit your own growth and your own potential. So identifying partners when you have a vision like that is absolutely key. Unless you don't have a vision, unless you're, once again, doing lifestyle. But we're talking legacy. I'm talking something this huge. You definitely have to have partners who can see what you see and are ready to go in the same direction.
Okay. So I'm going to ask a question that is, is there a particular coconut that is suitable for coconut oil? Or does every, and how many different species of coconuts are there, first and foremost? Because the one that you see in the Chinese or the Asian videos, the flesh is like very soft. And then some of them, the shells are so big, and the coconut flesh is so thin, and you're thinking, how many species are there? And which ones can you grow in Nigeria?
There's so many different species. I mean, there are about 10 species that, you know, we kind of typically look at. There's the Malay dwarf, there's the, you know, there's the West African, but in the market, they don't give them all those kind of refined names.
Of course
you
not.
You know, you're either looking at Ghana coconut or Nigerian coconut.
Okay.
And Ghana coconut doesn't only grow in Ghana, it grows in Nigeria too, but it's just a species that's a bit smaller.
Okay.
And typically when it comes from Ghana, they wait for it to drop. They don't harvest. They wait for the coconut to actually drop. So it's mature, it's dry, and it is very sweet. Oil content is very high. Typically on the Nigerian side, we have much larger coconuts that have, you know, a decent amount of white flesh, but not as sweet.
Okay.
So it really depends on what you're producing. Because we have about 10 products that are NAFTAC certified. So we have a range of different products that we produce. So a large coconut, for instance, with the white flesh may be suitable for a certain snack.
Yes.
And obviously with the bigger the shell, it's great for the activated carbon from the coconut shell.
Yes.
So basically it depends, but that's a whole nother training that people will have to pay for.
I like that. I really like that. I was just there was a thought flowing through my head now when you were talking about that, but I've lost it, and I'm sure I will come back to it. So the different varieties, does coconut grow all year through, or does it have seasons?
Yes, it does.
It grows all year through.
It fruits all year through.
You got to be
kidding
me.
But you know, you're getting an average of 100 to 200 coconuts from a tree. So that it fruits all year through doesn't mean that, you know, it's not like a mango tree where you can get, you know, but it takes you, if you plant a coconut tree now, depending on the species you plant, you're looking at between 4 to 7 years before the first fruit.
Oh my word.
You can see how much planning, you can see how much planning is required.
Oh my word. That's an investment.
Yep.
Wow. Wow. But then again, I mean, the yield. Go ahead, please.
It fruits from about 70 to 100 years.
Yeah. Oh, really? One tree?
Yes. Yes.
Talk about it.
Depending on the species.
Talk about a giving tree. All from this planting the tree inside the soil. 70 to 100 years.
Then
the weight of four.
Tree of life.
Yes. Then the weight of 4 to 7 years is okay now. There's no need if you're going to be fruiting for that long. Oh wow.
Right.
So why do the Ghanaians wait for the fruits to drop? Is there more value in what they get when the fruit itself drops? Do we do that here? And if not, why not?
I think there's there are probably a lot more. I think our Nigerian spirits has something to do with it. They're a lot more calm and more patient, number one. Number two, they have a lot more, they've invested a lot more in plantations.
Okay.
So if this one hasn't dropped, the other has dropped. So, you know, they can kind of keep it moving.
Yes.
But here, Lagos State is the smallest state in Nigeria, yet the largest producer of coconut.
Wow.
So you can imagine how much you can possibly get out of Lagos State. And in terms of coconuts and the demand, so people are in a hurry, get that coconut down, we need to sell it, kind of thing. So that's where that comes.
Wow. Lagos has is there any other state in Nigeria that can grow coconut?
Oh, there are 22 states in Nigeria can grow coconut.
Wow.
But Lagos has just been more invested. But the coconut industry has blown up so much now. So many, you can see Akwa Ibom is doing a lot of investing in coconut. And I'm working with Oyo State as well on developing coconut plantation there because, you know, it's possible. It's 22 states.
Wow.
So, yeah. And then because the demand has skyrocketed by about 500% over the last 5 years, the demand is really off the charts, and a lot of people see the value in investing in the coconut value chain now, from plantation to processing and even distribution of finished products.
500% in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
That is huge. Mm-hmm. When are we going to realize that we can make, for those that are money inclined, we can make money from other things aside from oil? I mean, who gives you a yield of 500% in 5 years, or an increase in demand, rather, of 500% in 5 years? That is huge. And 22 states can... In fact, I think I need to do a Nigerian tour. That's just it, man. I'm no more going anywhere else. 22 states. It's mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing what we can do if we just put our hearts to it. If we have people who are committed like you and the Lagos State and your Lagos State partners in these 22 states, I mean, there'll be no hunger. Well, at least it will be drastically reduced. So in terms of, I remember what it was. You said you have 10 products NACDAQ certified. We should give you 10 trophies. That is huge. That is huge. Because NAFDAC is a, for lack of a better word, they are the best agency for certifying products in Nigeria. But alas, the headaches that most people go through is, as they say in Yoruba, Kosheko, is... So you can sell outside of... So that means you can also sell outside of Nigeria because you have the national certificate. Oh, wow.
Yes, and we've got our NEPC certificate. We have got our NAFDAC. Our factory is FDA certified, which means we can sell in the US. So we do get a lot of sort of individuals who are buying for their stores in the US. And we're hoping with our expansion plans to be able to actually send container loads of our variety.
Wouldn't it just be lovely US, to walk into somewhere like Whole Foods and just see Jam the coconut?
You are in my head. Let's put it out there in the universe.
Oh yes,
and make this happen.
Oh my word. I mean, of course, with the increase in demand, I mean, not only would you be able to meet demand in the country, you would be able to meet demand outside the country as well. Especially with all the synergies that you have going on in first in Lagos State, and then all the other states hopefully will just, you know, jump on the bandwagon and do something good. Wow. So the claim that coconut is a healer, so to speak, you must live the life. Being that you are the coconut, so let's just call you the coconut queen. Yes, you must live the life. You must have some first-hand experience. I mean, while it's not medically certified, but at least you've been in the coconut industry for a few years now. So some of the things that are said, because just like you said about the regenerative cells, in fact, when you were saying it just now, I was thinking, oh, maybe that's why I look so good. Vanity sticking in here. What can I tell you? But honestly, though, I'm still tripped about the 3,000 recipes that you can do with coconut oil. I'm mind blown. So has this worked for you, especially so with being lactose intolerant and now switching to coconut milk? Is that, have you had any flare-ups since you've done that?
As long as I stay away from dairy milk, then I'm fine. But in terms of my skin, I do get a lot of, you don't look your age. That's all I use. That's all we all use in this house. We all use coconut, you know. And we have a variety. We have the coconut oil. If you don't want that basic, we have coconut lemon oil, coconut lavender, coconut lemongrass oil, coconut elixir. So that's all we use. That's all I use for my skin and my hair. And I get a lot of that, So yeah, in that regard. And for our activated coconut charcoal, you should try this actually. We have a product with a bamboo brush and the activated charcoal powder for basically removing plaque. And I use it for my younger son, and it works because he had that issue at one point.
Okay.
And yeah.
Yeah, I switched to bamboo tooth brushes. I can't remember how long ago, but I mean, being that I'm always oil pulling, I mean, I'm always looking. But I am going to actually going to try that one. I will actually try that
one. I'll send you some actually.
I would actually try that one. That would be nice to try because I mean, the oil pulling, it has worked wonders. I remember the first person, I think it was my sister, when she was like, you don't brush your teeth. I said, no, I oil pull. She said, what's that? That would your mouth be smelling? And I'm like, she goes, oh my gosh, it's not smelly. I mean, imagine trying to do that to an outsider. The person probably think I was mad. She was like, it's actually not smelling. And something that I've realized over the years is that when you use natural products or products that you know where it's coming from, in conjunction with a healthier lifestyle and blah, 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 you find out that not only does your skin glow, I can't remember the last time I had buildup on my tongue. And that's something that, you know, we take for granted. So, you know, we're like, so I'm thinking, it was a few weeks ago, I was thinking about it, I was like, I've not had to scrub, you know, like you would normally scrub your tongue when you're using, after you've eaten. I'm like, this thing is working. So in terms of your plan has skyrocketed. Your plan is now to the moon and back. It's no longer on the planet that is accessible by human beings. Where do you see in the next few years, for instance? I mean, now you have you're supplying, because you also have your NAFDAC certification, you're supplying most of the major supermarket chain stores. What is the next step for you and Jam the Coconut? And why jam the coconut? That's true. Why jam the coconut?
Well, jam is an acronym of my children's names. Yeah, and M. So Joba, Anabore, and Mama.
Okay. Well, you had to stand out, didn't you? So,
for the next 5 years, so we are bursting at the seams at our current factory.
Okay.
So, I mean, a more shorter term goal is moving to a larger, you know, purpose-built factory.
Mm.
Setting up our plantation, I'm hoping that in 5 years, I'm praying, I'm believing that in 5 years, we'll be harvesting, you know, our first coconuts from our own plantation.
Oh, that would be amazing.
And then we're also basically trying to identify another African country base from which we can produce.
Okay.
And that is in the works at the moment as well.
That's amazing. That's some major growth. I mean, so now I see why you don't go to Owambez, and I don't blame you either. It's just a lot of noise, man. No, honestly. You also mentioned your workforce being mostly women. Obviously, that means you're passionate about empowering women, whether they're educated or not. What pushed you in that direction?
I think I've sort of always been inclined, you know, this way. I belong to so many women's groups, and I just find that a lot of women lose their voice in the process of birthing babies or playing the role that society has set to them is their role. And now a lot of women who may be listening to this are probably more woke, you know.
Mm.
You know, they see the stories of people like Ibukun Awosika, you know, and all of that, and there's an awakening. But remember, our factories are in coastal communities, and they're just at the fetters of societies. And the women there are kind of left behind from all of this stuff that we're talking about. Maybe their partners have gone and gotten a job, you know, and they're just kind of taking care of the kids and all that. So really, my focus in this regard is the women in my community, to train them and onboard them into our team. But, you know, we also have a lot of things like town hall meetings, and I keep saying to them that we're not just coconut processors, we're ambassadors of excellence. And what we're trying to do in this organization is to create. And then in the town hall meetings, we have conversations about what is the Nigeria of your dreams? What do you want this country to be? And so what we're trying to do is create a microcosm of that Nigeria of our dreams in this company.
Mm.
And hopefully that culture will become such a part of them that they can take it on into their lives, affect their children, and affect, you know, the community, their community at large. So that's basically why, because a lot of women are just forgotten and, you know, disempowered. And for me, this just offers them, you know, that power and that choice and voice. And
that's quite laudable, because truly, like you said, sometimes women look at themselves and believe that for some reason that they can't do better than where they are. And being told that, you know, with something as which they probably didn't even value, something as small as a coconut, you can actually become who you truly want to become, and you can influence your next generation and your community for better, for the good. I mean, that's phenomenal. Well done.
Thank you so much.
So this going to Trans-Sahara road trip from Lagos to London, Auntie, I don't understand. Why? I can see adventure. I mean, but truly, honestly, I mean, why?
I thought we were only talking about coconuts today.
It's part of your... We have to throw in some part of the human being. We are talking coconuts, but we have to throw in some part of the human being. I mean, it's there.
Okay, so this was 2008, so this is like a lifetime ago.
Yes, but it's still part of who you are, isn't it?
Yeah. So I say to people, I've lived so many sort of lifetimes in this one lifetime.
Mm.
And I'm really grateful. And if there's anything that I'll take out of it, I'll still go sort of explained that a bit.
Yes.
What I'll take out of that is just to encourage people to do scary things. It wasn't scary. It was something at the point of planning and, you know, basically, okay, let me go back to the genesis. Okay. I worked in media at the time. I was a writer at True Love Magazine, and I had a section called travel.
Okay.
And so I went to interview somebody called Chief Newton Jibnor. You may know him.
Yes.
He drove from Lagos to London, from London back to Lagos after his university education. I thought, oh, that'd be an interesting question to put in this section.
Yes.
And so when I went to do that interview, he said to me, oh, he's planning another trip. And if you know me, you know I love travel. I really love to travel. And I, like when I was saying investing time, basically, I like to invest my time in memories, in, you know, like I do a lot with my kids and my family.
Yes.
You know, we go to just sort of do things. But I wasn't even married at the time. But, you know, so when he said he was going again, I said, ah, I'm coming with you. And not only that, I'm going to help you raise funds. I'm going to do the PR. I'm going to do the media. I'm going to design, you know, all the gear that I was going to wear. I just don't know how to do things more. And so I came on the team as deputy captain and, yeah, got a lot of funding, did a lot of press and media, and went on this trip. So I drove. I actually drove one of the three Suzukis that went across.
Wow.
from Lagos to London.
Wow.
And that was amazing. And it, like I said, it was I was just excited about the prospect of the journey. But once we got on the road into certain places, like driving over the Atlas Mountains, that was super scary. Or driving sort of in the middle of the desert and you don't see anything for miles and miles. All you see is sand and sky. Mm. That was scary. So there were points that were scary. And I think it's important to do scary things because it makes you realize that you can. It makes you realize what potential you have. So it's hard for me to see something that I cannot do now after that experience.
Isn't it amazing to look back on your life and think and just realize that everything that you've done was to get you to where you are right now? Imagine if you hadn't done that. I mean, you would have been looking at these coconuts and thinking, yeah, worldwide, how is that going to work? But look at it. You drove. Not only did I not know that you, I just thought you were part of the, you drove. How long did it take you guys?
So it took us about 5 weeks. And this is because we were getting reception visits from every Nigerian embassy in every single country. Who would have us for like 2 or 3 days, get us to rest, do a press conference, and then, you know, yeah. So it took us about 5 weeks.
Wow. And I do agree with you. Do something that scares you, you know, every once in a while, because it does show you that you do have capacity and you can do a whole lot more than you think that you're capable of doing.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have done, so we can come back to coconuts now. I'm sure you're very happy about that. So do you, the coconut festival that you talked about, is this going to be something that would be done yearly? Is it, because I mean, I miss that. I definitely would love to come for a coconut festival. All I know about coconuts is, before the coconut itself, was what they call that in Gugurudi. It's not Gugurudi. It's a coconut candy from Lagos, from our Lagos Island people. So why the coconut festival? Is it something that is viable? Is it for education and information purposes? Or is it for you to promote awareness for what can be done with the coconut and gather investment or get in Ghana, I beg your pardon, investments?
I think it's organized by the Lagos State Coconut Development Authority, Ministry of a Greek, so it's their program.
Okay.
Started in 2019. We didn't have one last year or this year because of COVID.
Okay.
And basically, it brought a lot of stakeholders. It brought a lot of sort of people in the industry from even NAFDAC, FIRO, and so basically to have conversations about where to invest, how to invest. There'll be an exhibition with processors there. So it was basically to showcase everything that was possible within the space, in the industry, and for people who who were in it and wanted more information about how the state was supporting them in the growth of the industry, and people who also wanted to invest. So that was the purpose of that, and we haven't had it in the past 2 years because of the pandemic, but I'm hoping it will come back next year.
They should consider doing it virtually as well, because I mean, people are still doing coconuts and people are still eating the coconuts. So I mean, just so that they can know that exactly. I mean, it's still there. I mean, so we should consider, if we can't do it physically, we can do it virtually and limit the amount of people that will be there on ground. So in developing your products, what were your, I am not asking you to give away any trade secrets, because I'm looking at, for instance, I mean, the coconut elixir, and you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, Auntie, what were you thinking about when we were doing this name? Yes. Did you have steps? Was it, what's the easiest to produce? Was it, what is the one that would be most useful to people? Was it, what was it?
Every time we produced something, it was in response to client feedback.
Okay.
So trade shows, obviously before COVID, trade shows were a big thing for us. We're always doing trade shows.
Yes.
And that gave us, you know, live feedback from customers to say, you know, I like this or I don't like this, if only this could be better. And so research and development is a big part of, obviously, from the beginning, from my journey to India and all that. So I'll give you an instance for coconut lemon, for the blend range.
Yes.
People would say, oh, I know, right? Women would say to me, I know that I should be using coconut oil on my body, especially on the upper, and like my breast and all of that, because, you know, I don't want breast cancer from all of these other topicals that are laced with chemicals. I know that coconut oil is just that, just coconut oil, you know?
Yes.
But I don't like that smell. Some people like it, but some don't. And that, our response to that was then to develop this range, you know, of coconut lemon. My absolute current favorite is the coconut lemon oil.
So
that made us develop that range, which has become hugely popular amongst women and men. I mean, there are people who don't even joke, you know, with it. So whether it's for your hair or for your skin, and even for massages, it is just amazing. And so that was feedback that gave birth to that. And So basically, it's feedback that gives birth to, and then also looking at your raw material.
Yes.
You see that you have, you know, the coconut shells. And trust me, if you're processing 1,000 coconuts a day, the volume of shells that you're going to be looking at is huge.
Humongous.
The question is, what are you going to do with that? And I clearly saw in India what people were doing with the shells, you know, and we just said, listen, we just have to start this sooner than later. And then we started. Not only do we have the packs of the activated charcoal, but we also supply cosmetic companies who use them for their face scrubs, or other companies that use the activated charcoal for water purification, air purification, and all of that. So it's such a vast space. It is such a vast space. There's so much is possible if only we're willing to put our hands to the plow and do the work.
And that's the cocoa of the matter. You know, the willing to put our hands to the plow and do the work. People seem to think, we seem to think that business is a walk in the park, and it's not a walk in the park. If you get there and it becomes a walk in the park for you, it's because you're riding off somebody else's experiences and you have opened your eyes and ears to learn from them and then grow from where they are. I was just in my mind when you're talking about 1,000 coconuts, I could actually see the pile of coconut shells. I'm thinking, oh my gosh. And they do not degrade easily. I mean, yes, you can put them back in the soil, but it doesn't decompose that easily, does it?
Nope.
As good as it is. So you're not thinking of doing coconut bowls and spoons yet?
We actually do. We have a silk coconut body butter that we make for, in fact, yeah. So we have a silk coconut body butter that is, we make, the casing for that butter is in a coconut bowl. It's in a bowl made out of coconut shells.
Oh, wow.
So that's another use for the.
Oh, wow. See that. please, I beg, can we do something? Me, I'm ready to collaborate. You know, food is my own thing. I'm ready to collaborate with these 3,000 recipes. Because, I mean, can we do like a cookout or something? I mean, with 3,000 recipes with coconut? That would be absolutely amazing. That would be absolutely amazing. So that people can see what they can
do. I just want to do a quick shout out to Chef Flo, mm-hmm. who recently took our coconut flakes and made the most amazing chocolate bars.
I saw lambasted her when I saw that video. I'm like, what is wrong with you? Why was I not part of this something? And she was like, oh, that was her cousin that said she should even carry it with her when she was going. I said, before, they look so beautiful.
Yeah. So there's so much that's possible in terms of collaboration, you know. You want to make chocolates, you don't want to crack the coconut. That's one of the big problems we solve, you know, that cracking of the coconut and processing it can be very challenging. So we actually do supply a number of factories the input for their product.
Imagine that. Solving problems everywhere. You're just creating solutions as you're going. That's absolutely
what business is, really.
It is, and the more solutions you provide, I mean, the more business comes your way. It's like a circle. If somebody came up to you now and said they wanted to go into, let's not even just say coconut, because you've had your hand in, and you still have your hands in quite a bit. If you, as a business, as an entrepreneur in business, what would you tell them to start with?
If they wanted to start a business?
Yes. And it doesn't matter what business it is. I mean, because I think the principles cut across no matter what it is. I mean, you can specialize eventually, but what would be the first thing you would say they need to do or need to have?
I think it would also depend on how much capital they have behind them, but if they're coming as an individual, I'll say start small. You know, start small. Time really goes by very quickly. Mm. And a lot of us don't want to start small because we're like, oh, I want to hit it big, like, now. But I think we should try to get drunk with the idea of the vision, with the end in mind.
Okay.
Get drunk with the end in mind so you can stay high through the pains and the challenges that you will go through as your business grows. So before we started processing coconut oil, we were buying coconut oil. So we'd supply coconuts, have some other people process, and then pick it up. So basically buying the coconut. So just kind of starting from that end of the value chain and growing along, you know, in that way.
Is coconut milk still something you do?
Say that again.
I said, is coconut milk still something you do? It just popped into my head and
No, it's not. Mm. Although we do have some bakeries who come to us from time to time to say, oh, I need 100 liters of coconut oil. Those are the kind of volumes we can do.
Okay.
So that and more. But because the shelf life of the coconut milk is so short.
Yes.
The losses were just too high.
Too much.
So what the coffee shops shifted to was oil, basically using the coconut oil in the coffees, and it was having almost
the same really effect.
Yeah,
I've got to try that.
Coffee and coconut oil, oh my god, it's amazing.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. So back to, let me focus, sorry. So you said you will tell them to start small. Go ahead, please.
So start small, start from the beginning of the value chain, right? Rather than saying, oh, and I've heard Musi Tembekwayo say this before, where he was talking about you want to start a poultry, but why don't you just buy eggs first and start to sell the eggs and then kind of take it one step at a time. Imagine me starting this business by saying, oh, I want to, I'm going to need 100 hectares of coconut. How do you do that? How do you manage all of those different moving parts of this thing without sort of learning as you go along?
Yes.
There's so much to learn. So starting small and just starting from the very beginning of the line and gradually sort of growing into the vision.
That requires patience, doesn't it? Not a skill, not a gift most of us Nigerians have. Right. So what do you do to relax then? So we finished Coco because we're almost done. So it's rounding up. So what is fun for you? What is it that when you've had it up to the ceiling and you just need to let your head down, what do you do?
I plant. I have a small garden. I go to sort of nature spaces.
Okay.
IITA, RF Gardens. I drive. I love to drive myself and listen to anything, music, podcast. I love to do that. Only me in the car, driving, moving, and listening to stuff. You know, it kind of makes me feel like I can fly. I love to do that. And I love to cook. I love to eat. I love to, I love to have conversations. This is a lovely conversation. Mm. So I love to have conversations over meals, with people. Small groups, very small.
I know, small groups. I understand you completely. I understand you. A large wogwero is not it, man. Nothing relaxing about that. Mm. What's your favorite food?
It's actually, Oh, my word.
Is that where do I start from?
Okay. I think any amala. Listen, you haven't really lived until you've had a good amala with abula.
Yeah, no, but again, really. What will you say before?
So let's take that off the bat. And then any rice meal that is made well, so it could be, so we do a fantastic herb rice in my house, which honestly is amazing. We have that with curries and stuff, and then jollof rice, and that's rice. Those are like my things. What else do I like? Oh, I like juices. I like lovely fresh juices that are, that's the kind of slap your taste buds.
I like the slap your taste buds.
Interesting things together, like pineapple and celery.
So if you could go anywhere in the world, I mean, you've traveled from Lagos to London, but by road. But if you could go anywhere in the world, where would it be?
Right now?
Hmm.
I'd like to go to Japan. I've been to a number of countries in Asia, but never Japan. I'd love to go to Japan.
Hmm. I actually want to do a food culinary, like a food travel. Just go to different places and taste food. That's all I want to do, honestly. Because food is such it's a conversation starter. It shows you, I think it shows you who the person is. I mean, if you tell me you don't love to cook, I'm thinking to myself, auntie or brother, why? What happened when you were growing up? Honestly, because if you dig further, you find out that it probably goes back to childhood. For those people who don't like to cook or don't like to eat, there's something in there that so once you mention food and the kitchen, and you're like, man, let's just move from there quickly. Okay, so we've actually done an hour, and it's amazing, truly, every time I have conversations with people, how time flies. I'm going to end off with this. I'm thinking the young lady sat down one day and thought to herself, I can solve this problem of mine with coconut. And alas, she's running a conglomerate, and it has grown past her and her family. And I've never heard the term of how did you refer to it again? You didn't, it's not a lifestyle brand. You thought family
legacy
business. Legacy. I'm thinking, I've never put that together before. And that is just, it definitely helps you to focus. And I'm grateful, first and foremost, for knowing you and knowing a bit more about you, and for knowing that you have decided that this is a legacy, not only for your immediate family, but for the rest of the country and the world at large. And as you continue to walk in this path that has been ordained for you, you will continue to meet open doors that will help you to grow the business, to grow the legacy. I'm going to replace business with legacy now. To grow this legacy that will not only impact you, but will impact the women who work with you, their families, generations down to come. Every single person that crosses your path will leave with a new mindset and growth, and seeing how the holes, when connected, can be better for everyone involved. To your brand success, to your legacy success, Ebun, thank you so very much for spending the time with us.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
I trust you'll enjoy the rest of your Saturday.
Yes, I'm at home with my husband and my children, and we're having an easy day.
Oh, easy day. I know what that feels like. I know what that feels like. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Amy, for having me. We finally did it.
Yes, we did. And I'm so glad. All right, my love. Take good care of you.
All right.
Then.
Okay, take care.
Bye. Oh, wow. When I say that they're phenomenal people in Nigeria, I am not joking. They're people who look at one thing and decide that this one thing is going to be the life of a billion people. And that this interview we've just had is an example of that. That was Ebu Felodu of the Jam the Coconut Company on her coconut adventure and legacy. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Spirit of Nigeria Radio. Positive Nigerian energy, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
Africa rapper number one, yo. Emma, your microphone magician, yo. Everybody put on it, like the way. Oh, Emma, you get put my door. Africa rapper number one, yo.
Africa rapper number one.